Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles' Weekly Sermons.
Some of which are fair assessments, some of which are unfair. But one of the common complaints about younger people nowadays, I'm counting myself among the older people, is that they're always victims and they don't ever want to take responsibility for themselves. What's the defining characteristic, or what's one of the, maybe not a defining characteristic, quality about this idea of being a victim of circumstances or a victim of something else and not taking responsibility? Inevitably, it involves the shifting of blame. Moving of blame from myself to someone else, or to my circumstances, or to society, or some other agent which is not me, right? And therefore I am absolved of any kind of responsibility for my own circumstances or for my situation or for what's happening to me. And it's easy to look around at other people and to see them doing this, and it's especially easy nowadays to look at the younger generation of people that have been subjected to public education and to see them doing it. But I suggest to you that this is an age-old human problem, because this is precisely what is happening in this event that we read about in the Gospel from St. Matthew today, where this man brought his son to be healed by the disciples, incidentally while Jesus was up on Mount Tabor being transfigured before Peter and James and John. He comes back down from the mountain, and this man runs up and says, "My son is lunatic, he's crazy, this demon is driving him crazy," and he does all these things to him, throws him into the fire and throws him into the water, and then he says, "And I brought him to your disciples and they could not cure him." Now we know from the discussion that comes after this that the real problem is the man's lack of faith. But he doesn't want to take responsibility for his own lack of faith, so he blames the disciples. "I brought him to your disciples and they couldn't do anything." The conversation is very truncated in Matthew's Gospel. St. Mark gives us a broader version of the discussion, where the Lord says to him, "Well, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." So the responsibility, the problem, Christ places it squarely on the man and the condition of his faith. But the man is not willing to do that. He would rather deflect responsibility for his son's condition onto someone else, in this case, the disciples. And lest we begin to think that this man is some kind of special case, we can go all the way back to the beginning, to a famous story which we all know by heart, in which God confronted Adam with his sin. And the confrontation, you remember, is an invitation to repentance. And God says, "Did you eat of the fruit of that tree that I told you not to eat of?" That's an invitation to confession and repentance. But Adam, confession and repentance means taking responsibility, right? If you're going to confess and repent, that means you take responsibility for your own part in this situation, and you beg forgiveness. But Adam doesn't take that route. He instead deflects and shifts the blame, right? First to Eve, then to God. "The woman that you gave me ate of the tree and then gave me and then I ate." It's an age-old story. Deflect responsibility, shift the blame, and perpetuate the same problem over and over and over again. But as I've already mentioned, the antidote to this all-too-human problem that, let's be honest, you and I suffer from as well, is the acceptance of responsibility, confession, the begging of forgiveness, and the attempt to make amends, to do better next time. Frequently, we go to confession. I do this too. I'm not singling anyone out, but we make our confession and we say something that we did, but then we feel as if, well, Father won't understand. There were certain circumstances. Therefore, I can't just say I lied. I have to explain why I lied. Sometimes, in very rare cases, that's helpful. Sometimes those are things that the priest hearing your confession needs to know. But I suggest to you that probably 90% of the time, this is simply an attempt to deflect and shift blame, even in the middle of the mystery of confession. Brothers and sisters, it's tempting to look at other generations, the subsequent ones coming after us, and look at them and see all of their faults and failures. That's a spiritually dangerous position to take. Now, we can look at ideologies and call them demonic because they are. But to single out peoples and say these people are all fools and wrong, it comes from a lack of a desire to look at ourselves. Because the coming generations inherit the world that we gave them. And we gave them a messed up world. And we can say, well, we inherited a messed up world. That's true. That's true. But what have we done to improve it? Have we taken responsibility for our own part in the perpetuation of sin and corruption in the world? Have we, with a whole heart, confessed to Christ, I have done these things, and the world is worse because I have done them? Every sin that we commit has not just personal or interpersonal consequences. Every sin that we commit has cosmic consequences. If we sin and we do not repent of it, we have amplified evil in God's cosmos. The other side of that, the positive side, is that if we sin and yet we repent with a whole heart and we confess and we take the responsibility squarely on ourselves and we go to Christ and we go to our confessor and we say, I have done this and it was no one else's fault and I could freely have chosen to do otherwise and yet I submitted myself to Satan and I performed this sin, forgive me, please, and strengthen me to not do it again, then sin is undone. It is undone. God in His mercy forgives, and He begins to work backwards through all the ripple effects of our sins. And He is able to make things not just as if the sin never happened, He is able to make them better. But what it requires of you and of me is that we be willing with a whole heart to acknowledge our sins, to confess them before God and before our confessor, to beg for forgiveness, and to exert ourselves to improve ourselves and to not commit them again. And God, just like Christ is able here, after he rebukes this man for his lack of faith, then He rebukes the devil and heals the boy. Christ is able also to heal us, to cast out our passions, to raise us up, to make us virtuous, to make us into saints, and thereby to bring about healing in the world. To God, who is glorified in His saints, be all glory, honor, and worship unto ages of ages. Amen. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is in our shouting.